Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. I'm Nikki Seberini, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Looking forward to it. We've got a fabulous show lined up for you, and we're going to be crossing over to Zambia and having a discussion with Boaz, who is the founder of the Male Breast Cancer Foundation, and really looking at something that many of us kind of think it's impossible. You know, we think that breast cancer is only associated with women, but Boaz is going to share his story. And hopefully we're going to be breaking through stigmas and, you know, making more people aware of male breast cancer, because, of course, early detection is always key. So Boaz will be joining us shortly. And then we're going to be chatting with Penny, who's the marketing manager at Workshop 17. We're going to be looking at the difference between micro moments and macro moments. And I suppose something to think about before Penny joins us is, where do you live? Do you live in the micro moments or do you live in the macro moments? Perhaps both. Where do you spend more time though? And is that a good or a bad thing? Just something to unpack, which I'm certainly looking forward to, the impact that it has on our lives and the way we see the world around you. So Boaz Musamvu, who is from Zambia and is the founder of the Male Breast Cancer Foundation. You know, most people today, when they hear about breast cancer, of course, they think of women, mothers, sisters, wives, daughters who have been diagnosed. And so they should. You know, every October we talk about breast cancer. But what's really important to discuss today is that it is not women's battle alone. So Boaz is certainly living evidence that this disease doesn't discriminate. It certainly affects men too. And he's a living example, you know, and talking about this treatable cancer if caught early, which is why it's so important for men to realize that that lump could be something more than just a lump, because yes, men do get breast cancer. So Boaz, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. It's really lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you, Lee. I'm deeply honored to be on your program. It's indeed a pleasure that you are giving an opportunity for us men to discuss about our health.
Absolutely.
As you have rightly stated, we have a big issue. First of all, the mention of breast cancer, just the mention of breast brings a picture of a woman. As men don't believe that we have breasts, but men also have breast tissue, though in small amounts. And indeed, like you have said, I'm a living example that men also can and do develop breast cancer. Maybe a bit of background. In 2023, I was diagnosed with a disease. I couldn't believe it when the doctor said the lump I had presented appeared like it could be cancer. So we needed to do more investigations. So in a nutshell, really, that's what, after undergoing treatment, then I decided to form a foundation to address issues regarding men and breast cancer.
Yeah. I think let's go back a little bit. I want to press pause there, Boaz, because I think it's really important to track your story. You know, as you say, men don't think that they have breasts. I mean, you are married, you have five children, and you discover a lump in your right breast. And like most men, you know, they would think, oh, well, that's a lump in the breast because, well, I don't have to worry about lumps in the breast. I mean, certainly women do. But you said that it started to change and it started to itch. And then you sought medical help. So when your doctor, as you said, suspected that there was cancer and then you went on that journey and you were told, what were your first thoughts? Breast cancer. What went through your mind?
Well, first of all, this is how I discovered that I had a lump in my breast. It was an early morning shower. Then I felt a bump in my breast. I ignored it. 6 months down the line, that's the itch part you are talking about there. Then I told my wife, because in that 6 months I had hidden from my wife. I didn't tell her or anybody that the lump in my
Were you worried about that lump?
No, at that point I wasn't, because I was also not aware that men can develop breast cancer.
Right.
I thought it was something that would disappear on its own. Until when my wife got involved, then it became a family conversation until we went to see the doctor. When the doctor told me that it was breast cancer, I was shocked, to say the least. And what it came straight away into my mind was that I was going to die. Because as you know, cancers are always associated with death, which is not a correct position, because cancer is both preventable. Some cancers are preventable as well as can be treated. A lot of things were going through my mind, thinking about my family, so if ever, and the fear of the dreaded chemotherapy. You know, as you know, cancer treatment is quite intense.
Yeah.
I thought of the financial implications. As you know, cancer medicines are quite financially expensive. So really my mind was swelling some time, thinking of the situation I had found myself in. But then the first surgeon who saw me told me that I had to do a physical examination to check whether the cancer had spread to other structures of the body. And he cautioned me that if the cancer had spread to other parts of the body, it would be difficult to treat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some colleagues of mine, even those that were suffering from, on the female side, those with advanced cases, most of them have passed on. So I was really worried. So in that 2 minute investigation period, for him to arrive at the conclusion of whether the cancer had spread to other parts of the body or not, it was really stressful.
Yeah.
I was imagining now if he tells me it has spread. So really it was traumatizing, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, that is the start of this journey, Boaz. As you say, the fear, the knowing what other people have experienced, and knowing how difficult chemotherapy could be, and having to get your head around the fact that this is breast cancer, you know, and you're a male and breast cancer. So it must have been so much to have to deal with. But your your surgeon wanted to remove that lump first and foremost. So you had the mastectomy, I think it was in November, and then you went for chemotherapy.
Yes, and radiotherapy.
Okay. And how are, I believe that the chemo was quite difficult. You lost your hair. What other effects did it have on you and on your everyday life?
Well, I lost all manner of hair on my body. My skin changed. I'm dark already, but I became darker. From time to time, you could have sores in your mouth. And then I do some consultancy as a way of living, but in that period, I couldn't do any work. Are you there, Lee?
Sorry, Boaz.
Are you there? Okay, I
Oh
can see you.
yes, absolutely. We're here. You were just saying that, while you were going for treatment, you weren't able to work, which I'm sure adds another level of stress. You're not able to work. You spoke about the financial implication of expensive treatment. You want to be there for your family, and I'm sure that they were there for you. Did you have a strong support system? You said that your wife kind of took over.
The first thing I did was when I was told that the diagnosis was that I had breast cancer, I decided to speak to those around me, my immediate family and extended family, directly. I made personal phone calls to everybody that was outside reach, was not where I could speak to them face to face. And then those that were around me, I spoke to them personally, one by one, just to ensure that if there were any or misconceptions, I could clear them, other than them hearing from third parties. Because when moving from one person to another, in the end, it gets mixed up, and the true picture is not told. I think that helped to really garner support on my journey. My family has been very, very, very helpful. And even just ordinary friends. Because most of them couldn't believe that indeed it was breast cancer. I had to deal with the question of what happened, as if I had brought this upon myself for one reason or another. So, looking back, I think it's a blessing now I have a new career, so to speak, that I should share my story and try to save lives.
I find it amazing that you took time to speak to everybody individually and to answer questions, because I think that diagnosis kind of gets you into that fight, flight, freeze state, right? And you're in this very logical, engaging way, having to answer some very difficult questions, as you say, as if you brought it upon yourself. And I think that there's so much to be said for that, because as you've said, you were able to bring everyone in and have these difficult conversations. And in doing that, you created this amazing support for yourself. I think that's really important. So often we speak to people who want to keep it very quiet, boys. They don't want people to know. They don't want it to be. And each to his own. We're all different and we all face these challenges in different ways. But I am highlighting what you've done because we know how important a support system is, and that it can be quite harrowing on the family, the immediate family. And so for the immediate family to have other support as well, who then inadvertently support you, must go a very long way. And so, as you said, Boaz, you know, a whole new life has opened up for you, being the founder of the Male Breast Cancer Foundation in Zambia. I don't even think we have a Male Breast Cancer Foundation here in South Africa. What was it that made you decide, you know what, I want to create this foundation. This is important. My story needs to be told.
In fact, before I get to that question, let me share a story with you. When I was discussing with my family around me about the treatment the doctor had prescribed, when it came to biopsy, some of my family members didn't want me to undergo biopsy. I was told if you do biopsy, the cancer spreads. We had quite some forth and back discussions, but the doctor had explained to me the importance of having biopsy. So I stood my ground that biopsy was important for my treatment. The doctor had assured me that the cancer had not spread to other organs of the body. So the treatment, surgery in fact, would suffice as a treatment. The surgery would eliminate the cancerous lump. I was still undergo therapy and radiotherapy. So it helped me speaking to individuals, and everybody helped me overcome some of these misgivings. People to some of the investigations I was going to undertake. Now, coming to the foundation, on my journey, I came to realize that one, there was lack of awareness. Two, there was stigma. Because even the first day I went for my chemotherapy, I entered a room which had about 40 women. I was the only male there. So, this lack of awareness, basically, it is around the issue that the disease is for women only. And when men are told that they have got this disease, they start thinking they are suffering from a disease which is for women. So that creates a bit of discomfort coming up. Then late diagnosis. Most of the men because after I formed the foundation, I heard stories, and I've come to meet some of my colleagues who have gone through a similar journey. 80% and the Cancer Disease Hospital, I think, speaks to that fact. That most men present cases to hospitals very late. So this is due to lack of awareness. And in some cases, people, instead of seeking going to hospital, they would rather see a traditional healer or go to their pastor for prayer or so on, other than so that they could be attended. So they end up presenting their cases late to hospitals, and in the end, survival rates are quite low. And then I realized also that there was lack of educational materials specific for men. The information that is out there is only for female breast cancer. There is nothing generally for men. In fact, in addition to that, even the treatment we undergo as men is framed around female breast cancer. Even the investigations we undergo at hospitals, is most of the machines are around the female breast.
Yeah.
It was discomforting when I was asked to do mammogram. Because that machine was designed around the female breast, which is larger.
Yes. That must have been so difficult.
Yeah, it was quite a painful experience.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. And generally, lack of support for men. I'll tell you this, you have only one cancer diseases hospital in the country.
And say that again, Boaz. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Maybe you can just come closer to your microphone.
Yeah, I was saying we have only one cancer disease in the hospital at the moment in the country. Another one has just been finished, and a third one has been started. But at the moment, we have only one functioning cancer disease in the hospital. Of course, government is doing its best to ensure that healthcare is decent. But at the moment, we have only one cancer. And you can imagine people have to travel from wherever they are in the country to travel to Lusaka, the capital city. Now, there are issues of cost there in terms of transport, accommodation, and the treatment cycle is 21 days. So every 21 days, one has to travel those furthest from the capital city, somewhere around 900 kilometers or so. Every 21 days, they have to come to the capital city. So it's, when I started getting these stories, it really impressed on me that we need to do something about it. And that's the reason I decided that probably forming a foundation to promote prevention, encourage early detection, and support patients and survivors would be the right.
Yeah. I think, Boaz, I think it's incredible that you've started this foundation. As I said, as far as I know, we don't have a foundation like that in South Africa. And I don't even know what the numbers are. We had a few weeks ago, we had someone on the show who also had breast cancer, a male. So I don't even have those figures. As you say, you have very little cases in Zambia. But, you know, perhaps you will be meeting up with people in South Africa, maybe doctors, maybe breast cancer, warriors, men who've gone through that breast cancer journey, and you'll be connecting and maybe sharing resources. But hopefully, you know, we'll be able to have more and more of these conversations, Boaz, because as you said, lack of awareness is a big issue. The stigma is a huge issue. And a late diagnosis is, with any cancer, is really, really dangerous. So, yeah, we just wish you all the best with your foundation in Zambia. And as I said, it would be great if there was synergy here in South Africa. Is there anything before we say goodbye, Boaz, is there anything that you wanted to quickly share with our audience?
Okay, thank you so much. I would really love to connect with anybody who's willing to help our cause. This is a big issue. The statistics are not there because no research has been done. So the numbers we have are just women. But since I formed the foundation, I've connected with other 10 men. Who have suffered from the disease. It would be great indeed, maybe through you, Lee, you could connect us to other people who could be of help, so that we can take this message outside, out there, across Africa and globally.
Absolutely. So that
no one should die from late stage diagnosis of cancer.
Yeah.
Because of lack of awareness or stigma.
Absolutely, Boaz. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully connections will be made. It's really been lovely having you on the show. Take care, and here's to good health and the growing of your foundation, just in not for members, but certainly for awareness. We appreciate it. Take care and goodbye.